Turn to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus 9. It's good to be with you this morning. Good to get to study just a part of God's Word with you. I want to go ahead and mention to you tonight, the plan is for us to look at four songs and to go through and talk about them. Each of the four have either meanings or certain words and phrases that may seem a little strange. And what we want to be able to do is sing every song with absolute understanding of what we're saying. So we're going to look at four songs that have some parts that might be a little strange or questionable to us. Night with Ebon Pinion, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Jesus, Rose of Sharon, and The Sands of Time are the four that we're planning on looking at. We'll discuss them, and then Matt has agreed that he's going to lead those songs for us. So after we talk about them, then we can sing them, hopefully with a better understanding maybe than before. So I look forward to that. Hope you'll be back tonight for that. Chuck just read for us in Psalm 113. I'm going to go back to verse 2 there. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's name is a big deal to Him. A very, very big deal. And it always has been. Have you there in Exodus chapter 9. Notice what He says to Moses. Look at verse 16. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Did He want to bring His people out? Of course He did. But what is the main goal? That His name will be glorified. In Ezekiel chapter 20, you don't have to turn here. We've studied this recently in some of our classes. But just to get a taste of how big of a deal His name is. Verse 9, but I acted. He's speaking about the things that He did for Israel. And the Gentiles were watching to see what He did with Israel and bringing them out. And He says in verse 9, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among who they were. He goes down to verse 14, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned. Verse 22, nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake. It's a big deal. And I think there's a warning with that. The warning is, I better never misuse His name. And this is a side point. But it's so easy, and in the world we live in and with social media, to just say phrases like, oh God, and have no intention of talking about the Almighty and praising how good and how great He's been. Let us never do that. He takes His name seriously. We should too. There's a song written by Charles Wesley. It was written back in 1739. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And one of the stanzas says this, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of my God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is appropriate to bless His name. What does that mean? What does it mean to bless the name of the Lord? Well, it means to speak well of, to praise, to acknowledge His goodness with a desire for His glory. In other words, when we have such love and adoration for Him, that our greatest desire is to tell others about Him, is to proclaim His greatness. I can't hold it in. I can't stand it. I can't not do it. That's the idea of blessing the name of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 72. We're going to look at a couple of instances in the Scriptures of people doing this. Psalm 72, verse 18. Told at the beginning of this psalm, in the heading there, this is the Psalm of Solomon. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. When you say amen twice, you absolutely mean let it come to pass. Let it be so, let it be so. And what is He saying? He's worthy. His name is so worthy. Let us never take it lightly. Let us praise Him with everything He deserves. Now turn to Job chapter 1. When should we praise His name? And I think if we asked anybody in this room that, we would say always. We should always. That's easy to say. Do we actually do it? Job 1 verse 21. You remember what happened. We'll actually start in 20. He has just received word. He's lost all of his possessions. But even worse than that, all of his children have been killed. Notice his response after finding that. Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He just lost every one of his children. Is this what you would do? He falls to the ground and worships God. And notice what he says, because it says so much about his character. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When do we praise him? When do we bless his name? When he gives, and also when he takes away. Now, the first part, I think, is pretty easy. Blessed be the name of the Lord when he gives. Well, let's look at some instances. Turn to Psalm 127. He gives when a child is born to us. The birth of a child is a big deal. It's an incredible blessing from the Lord. The psalmist captures it here. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They are a blessing from the Lord. They're heritage. They are fruit of the womb. That description, children are a blessing. You remember Naomi? In the book of Ruth, boy, she suffered. She suffered in that book in so many ways. But there at the end, when you go to Ruth chapter 4, Ruth has married Boaz, and she's just given birth to Obed. Verse 14 of chapter 4, notice what other people say to Naomi. Her grandson Obed has been born, and the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. It's interesting to me. Blessed are you, Naomi, and that's true, but who do they think? Blessed be the Lord that he's given you a grandchild, and that this may be a blessing to you all throughout your life. They understood that God was to be glorified when children were born. Are they hard work? Yes, they are hard work. I can look at the eyes of parents out here and see you had a rough night last night. They are hard work. They change your life completely. And they are absolutely one of the greatest blessings the Lord has ever given to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord when he sends them to us, when he puts them into our keeping. What a blessing. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Another type of blessing that he gives, another time to bless him when he gives, bless his name when he gives, is the physical things that we have. Our jobs, our homes, financial security, all of these things. When God tells Abram that he is going to give Abram's descendants the land of Canaan, what does Abram do? This is Genesis 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. What does Abram do? And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. What does he know? I don't deserve this. The Lord gave me this. I will worship him. I will bless his holy name for what he's done. And I just wonder, it's so easy to sit around and look and think about what we don't have and what we wish we had. How often do I just sit down in my chair or on the front porch and just think, when I'm watching the sun come up in the mornings, man, he has given me so much. I have this house behind me, and if it starts raining, I can go inside and I'm going to be okay. And when it's 110 in Hartselle, Alabama, which it is every day, I can go inside and I'm going to be okay. If I get thirsty, I can go get water out of a tap. Imagine, how would Abram have liked to have had a tap? And yet he blessed, he understood the things that he was given came from the Lord, and he blessed him for it. Do we bless the Lord for these things? We've talked about those who are sick and have gone through surgeries. Ray has one coming up. How about after a successful surgery? How about after a recovery from sickness? Do we bless the name of the Lord then? Turn to Luke 17. It's so appropriate. And the opposite is true too. It's inappropriate when we don't bless him. for that. You remember in Luke 17, those 10 lepers? He's going through Samaria and Galilee. He comes into a village, and there are 10 men who are lepers. And they stood afar off. They would have been separated from society. They can't just come up to people. And Jesus tells them there, verse 14, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. So as they go, leprosy that has just changed their whole lives is now gone. And only one of them comes back. Samaritan, we're told, that point's given to us. He comes back. And verse 16, fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. That's appropriate. That's what should be done. Of course, then Jesus asked the question, weren't there 10? What happened to the other 9? Where are they? Which suggests that maybe they did later, but at least at this point, they don't show thanks for it. They just go on their way. Do we bless his name when he gives us recovery? When we have that successful surgery? When the sickness is gone, do we bless his name when he gives? Well, let's think about the opposite. Do we bless his name when things are taken away? This is harder. Certainly it is. When we lose things, when we endure loss, it is more difficult. But Job understood. Job understood that in no way did his misfortune lessen the worthiness of God. His bad situation in no way took anything away from God's greatness. I need to understand that too. When those I love are taken away from me, do I bless his holy name? When I lose through death someone I love dearly, do I bless his holy name then? Because there's a temptation, isn't there? There's a temptation to question him. There's a temptation to be angry with him. I was talking to my mom last week. She said, I have been angry for the past 17 years. That's the temptation. And that's what Satan does. He says, oh, God's supposed to be good. And he did this to you. He let this happen. Can we bless the name of the Lord when hardship comes? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is not just a theory. This is not just a suggestion. This is something that godly men and women have done. And we can go see it. 2 Samuel 12, you're familiar with that. This is after Nathan has come and he's rebuked David. David has repented, but you know what the price is going to be. The child is going to die, the child of David and Bathsheba. And David is praying. The child is sick now. He's about to die. David's sick. He won't eat. He's fasting. He's his face on the ground praying. And then the child dies. And his servants are scared to death. They think, well, if David's acting like this when the kid was still alive, what's he going to do? Now that he finds out he's dead, he's going to hurt himself. And yet, notice what we're told. Look at verse 20. Right before that, he asked them if the child's dead, and they say he is. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he ate after that. And you think, how? Because the Lord was still worthy. He's still God. He's still worthy to be praised, even though David had lost somebody he loved. I'll give you another example. This one's different. Go to Acts chapter 7. This one's in a different way. This is not necessarily a family loss. You remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen stands before the Jewish council there and he rebukes them. They don't take very kindly to that. They rant and rail, and eventually they put him to death. Verse 59 and 60, we're told, as they're stoning him, Stephen calls on the name of God, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not charge them with this sin. He sounds so much like his Lord in those verses. And then he dies. We're told afterward, look at verse 2, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Did it hurt to lose Stephen? This is the early church. This is the first martyr. Somebody has died for the name of Jesus now. And I wonder if anybody stopped and said, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I thought this was all going to be singing and praising and all that. They're throwing rocks and they're landing them. This is harsh. This is a huge blow to the early church. And yet look at verse 4. What did they do? They lamented over his loss. They loved Stephen and they lost him. Yet therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and we're told Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Yes, they lost Stephen. Did that make the name of Jesus any less worthy? No. No, he was still worthy. And so they went and they took it and they kept doing it. Even in the midst of that loss, they could have quit. They could have said, this is too much for me. Instead, they glorified the name of God. And how many people became Christians because of that? They scattered because of that persecution, and little fires started cropping up everywhere. Now here's a congregation, and here's a congregation. And Paul's going to help that tremendously, the very one who's persecuting them here. The Lord was worthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Death is hard to deal with, but it in no way takes away God's glory. The God who gave this person into my life is still worthy even when they're no longer there. I have to remember that. He is still worthy when my health is failing. If we live long enough, we will soon realize that our bodies do not keep up with time. Well, they keep up with time, just not the way we would like them to. The young do not think so. And I think of these young guys, and I look at them, and I know, without a doubt, in the next few years, one of them, well, it may be a few more than a few years, one of them is going to try to jump across a creek. And as he's halfway across, he's going to realize, this was a terrible decision. Why did I do this? I used to could do this. And I'm going to find out about it because I hear about that stuff. And I'm going to say to them, I understand. I understand. I don't know what happened either. Time happened. We were never intended to live forever in this life. We get so attached to it. And we get so attached to our being and the way we are. We were never, ever meant to live forever. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12. That was never the plan. That was never the goal. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll look at verses 6 and 7. If you go back to verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Just that reminder, start early. Start early. You're going to go through some difficult times as time goes on. And then I believe when we get down into verse 6, we're talking about things about the body and the memory that aren't what they used to be. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Look at verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That is my end result on earth. Dust. That's what's eventually going to happen to me. Unless the Lord comes back before then. That's what's going to happen to you too. We were never meant to live forever in this life. But we were meant to live forever. Psalm 71. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Drop down to verse 12. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Drop down to verse 14. I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. He's getting older. He's getting weaker. But what does he say? I'll praise you more. I'll praise you more now than I did. Keep going. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. And then look at the last part, verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Lord, don't let me lose my strength until I've told everybody in this generation how great you are. That's what I want to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, there's a new version of that song that has come out in recent years. And one of the lines reads like this. Blessed be your name is the name of it. And it says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. I was listening to it and I thought, do I do that? The blessings that he pours out on me, and they are many, do I turn them back to praise of him? And I think if we're honest, at least I can say, a lot of times I don't. Here they come, but I don't take them and turn them back and glorify him for them. Let's just look at a couple of examples. Our monetary blessings, what belongs to him? It all belongs to him. The cattle on a thousand hills, all the beasts of the forest, they all belong to him. And he lets us, he entrusts us with some of it. What do I do with it? How do I turn that back to praise of him? Do I support the work of the church? Do I help my brethren who are in need like Barnabas did? We see that in Acts chapter 4. Do I help strangers in need? It has always been a thing with God, even under the Old Testament. It's in Leviticus 19, around 34. He talks about the importance of when strangers are in the land of Israel, you're to love them as yourself. Well, what do we know? What example do we think of? Think of the Good Samaritan, right? He sees this person in need, this one who seems to have been a stranger to him, and yet he had compassion on him. He took of his blessings and he blessed him. And we may shy away from it. And I think it's probably because we're afraid of being taken advantage of. That's my problem. I'm afraid if I give this guy $5, he's going to go buy beer with it. But he might not. He might go buy a sandwich with it. And I understand we're to be wise. But I'm afraid sometimes I've talked myself out of doing good to people without even trying. Without even asking them, so tell me your situation. Without even going to talk to them or even consider, I just look at them and I say, he's probably going to buy beer with it. And so I just walk away. And here's an opportunity to bless the name of the Lord with my blessings that he's given me. And I make an excuse to not do it. Shouldn't I at least make the effort? Turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Another way that we can take and turn our blessings to praise, those monetary blessings, is through hospitality, especially to our beloved brethren. Romans 12, verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Drop down to verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I have a note in my margin that says, outdo one another in honoring each other. Outdo one another in honoring each other. I totally stole that from Bill Hall in the middle of a class. He said that. He made that comment and I wrote it down. That's what it's saying, isn't it? You outdo each other with the love and the honor that you show toward one another. So many opportunities to do good. All of these things, when we do good with them, they glorify Him. They praise His name. What about our abilities? We'll go through these kind of quickly. What if you have a powerful voice? Can you take that? It's a blessing. Can you take it and turn it to praise? Yeah, you can teach the word of the Lord with that powerful voice. What if you have a beautiful singing voice? Can you take it and use it to praise the Lord? Absolutely. There are some who will take that gift, and I've heard them record songs for others so they could learn to sing hymns. What an incredible blessing. Not just use it for ourselves, but to bless the Lord. Some just know what to say. They have that encouraging voice. Is that a blessing? Yeah. And it can be used to praise the Lord as well. What if you have a sharp mind, got powerful intellect? You just pick up on things so easy, just so sharp. Do we just use that to make money and build ourselves up? Or do we use that to be able to convict the gainsayers? Do we use that sharp mind that the Lord may have given you to see false doctrine and just pick it apart and say, this doesn't work? Look, do we use it to skillfully take difficult passages and make them easy to understand so everybody knows, so they can get the sense of what the Word says? Do we have strength? Do we use it to praise the Lord in whatever way? Turn to Deuteronomy 6. I want to go back to children for a second. We talked about how they're a blessing. They certainly are. But how do we turn them back to praise? If they are a blessing, clearly they are from Psalm 127, how do you take that blessing and turn it back to praise to the Lord? By bringing them up in His ways. By bringing them up to respect and honor Him. Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You raise them up in my ways, he says. And this is the reason. And I don't know if I've paid attention to this before. We take the blessing of children that he gave us, and we do our very best to turn them into worshipers who honor and praise him. That's our job. Now, I know it's on them. They've got to make the decision. We can't make them do that. But as parents, you and I are given the responsibility to give them a reason to worship him. They should look at us and see our lives and see the joy that we have and the hope that we have. And they should say, you know what? It's worth it. Look at mom. Look at dad. It is worth it. We're going to do one of two things with our children and also with the lost. When they look at us, they are either going to see someone who gives them every reason to serve the Lord, or they're going to look and they're going to see someone who gives them every reason not to. That's on us. What a huge responsibility. Certainly we do that for our children. They should look and they should see the life we live and say, you know what? That's worth living. That makes me want to be a Christian as well. The lost should see the same thing. When they come and they look at us, they should say, you know what? This person, this brother doesn't see it as a chore. He doesn't see it as something he has to do. It's a life worth living. It's an eternity worth having. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go and get your psalm books out. Before we sing, I want to read from Psalm 148. We know this. I mean, certainly, we could say so much more. He gives us the blessing of comfort. We should use that to comfort others. He gives us the blessing of prayer. We should use that to praise him. And I know we go to him and we ask for things, and that's fine. He wants us to. But do you ever go to God in prayer and just praise him? Don't ask for anything. Just mindfully, I'm just going to glorify you for who you are. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. For glory is above the earth and heaven. He has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, all the children of Israel, a people near to him. Christians are his Israel today, that spiritual Israel, his family. Do we praise him like this? He saved us so we could glorify him. Are we doing that? Again, if you've got your psalm books, Daniel's going to lead us in just a second. The best way we can praise him is by obeying him. And if I'm not obeying him, how could I say I'm praising him? I mean, that's just not being honest. Maybe I need to make correction in my life. This morning's a good time to do it so that we can say through our lives and our words, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you need help with that, if we can help in any way, come. Will we stand and sing?